Well, if you're glad for the powerful name of Jesus, say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Demons tremble at that name. Don't forget it. That's a powerful name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, worship team. Just before you guys scoot, I want you to say hi to some new worship leaders that we have joining the team. Allie Andusa. All right. Allie, it's great to have you. And Pastor DeAndre Garand, who actually was a little boy in our church years and years ago. I knew him when he didn't have gray in his beard. And he's back and he's worshiping, so welcome. Amen. Thank you, guys. Wonderful. And it's so great to have Apostle and Sister C back in the house. They've been gone since... Did you go right after Christmas? Was it right after Christmas? So a couple of months over in the state of Hawaii, and it's not what you think. They've been preaching. Yeah, it's not a vacation. And so it's great to have them back. They're going to be around for a few months. In fact, in just a few weeks, Apostle C is going to take the platform and share the Word of God. So I'm very excited about that, and I'm feeling better. I feel better today. I love to be with you guys. We're worshiping. We're having a good time. This was a little bit of a sad week for me because I started a low-carb diet, and it made me sad. So sad. It hurt my spirit, but I'm feeling better. And we're ready to go with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let's get started. I encourage you to get this book, and I want to thank Pastor Chris for all his hard work in putting together this book. He was writing it was a team effort, but bringing it together was largely Pastor Chris as a kind of the, he's a pretty special guy around here, so we appreciate him. So I want to say welcome to everybody in the sanctuary and then the cafe. And as you've been hearing, and if you're joining us online, great to have you. As you've been hearing, we're starting our new season of messages together. It's a series called Reasons for Hope, and I'm just excited to be able to share this with you. Over the next few weeks, I believe hope is going to rise in your life because we're going to give you reasons to be encouraged, not just fairy tales, not just pious platitudes, but solid, credible reasons why, in a world that seems to be losing its bearings, in a world that seems to be losing its peace, why we can stand firmly in what we can stand firmly on and actually believe that God has given us a future and that good things are coming. You know, when you don't know who to trust and you don't know what's true, it's hard to feel encouraged. But when you have something in you that anchors you, when you have a reason to believe and a reason to hope, then you stand much differently in life, and life goes from unsettling to inspired. Our culture, I believe, is losing hope because we don't know who to believe. We don't know if we can trust our politicians. We don't know if we can trust what we read in the newspaper. We don't know if we can trust our neighbor. We're fractured. We're divided. There's a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of suspicion in our culture, a lot of anger. And it's showing up in funny ways. It's showing up in our relationships, a lot of tension in our relationships, showing up in our health. We can't sleep. We're irritable. And God just wants to hit reset for us and get us anchored on the things. Because I think we've tried to build on things that can't give us hope. You can't build on temporary things and find eternal peace. You can only build eternal peace in your life by understanding what is unchanging and what is eternal in your life, and that's the rock that you want to build on. So people are looking for answers, and that's what this series is about. And we're going to be addressing some very interesting questions. First of all, why do we believe the resurrection is real? Why do we believe that? I'm going to talk about that today and next Sunday. Then we're going to talk about the Bible. How do we know the Bible is actually God's word? What are the reasons that we believe that? And then we're going to talk about the love of God. How do we know what God's nature is? How do we know that? You know, if God is loving, and also we're going to talk about heaven. We're going to end the series. And that, all of that is in the book. So I encourage you to get that because there's so much more in here than what we have time to get in here on Sunday mornings. But the good news is that life's biggest questions can be answered in ways that are credible, in ways that we can trust, and we'll be able to build our lives on those answers. If you want to get a copy of the book, you can do that after the service in the lobby area. All right, let's get to the Word of God. Today's scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17 through 19. And I'd like you to take a look at this verse. It's a very important verse, foundational for our study. So let's take a look at it. Paul the Apostle writes, "If Christ has not been raised..." I want you to get a pencil, and you've got a teaching outline as well, but get a pen or a pencil, because I'm going to have you circle some words in this verse. All right, you've got your teaching outline there. He said, if Christ has not been raised, if Christ has not been resurrected, then your faith is useless. Circle the word useless. Your faith is useless, and you are still guilty. Circle the word guilty. Wow. Your faith is useless, and you are guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. Circle the word lost. And finally, he says, and we are more, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then we are more to be, what? Pitied than anyone in the world. In other words, the resurrection is such a crucial truth that if it's not true, because it is so foundational, if it is not true, then our faith is useless, we are guilty, we are lost, and we are pitiful. That's how important the resurrection is. So that's where we start, because the resurrection is our very first reason for having hope in life. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, all of those things are true and life is bleak. But the truth is, Jesus did rise from the dead. So we are not hopeless, we are not pitiful, we are not guilty, and we are not lost. We have reasons to hope in the future because of this great miracle. And let me say this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is our first and most important reason for having hope. Now, if you're watching this as a part of your life group, go ahead and get into chapter 1 of your book. Enjoy your time together. Get started together and have a great small group experience. The rest of us, I want us to talk for a minute here about why we need hope. Let's talk about hope and the power of hope and why it's important. How many think hope is important in life? I'm going to tell you a story that's a little bit hard for me to tell. I'm going to show you something that I haven't shown anybody in 15 years. This was the building that we were going to build. In 2001, 2002, 2003, we entered into a property search. Our church at that time was in the Willow Glen area of San Jose. We had 140 parking places, which is really small. We were situated on 2 acres of property. The church was growing, and we just knew that we were in trouble in terms of having a place to meet. And so we went out and we started looking at buildings, and we squirted more buildings with oil and we prayed more prayers than you can imagine. But we finally found a piece of property. And believe me, I mean, Silicon Valley's like Manhattan. I mean, there's not a lot of available space. We finally found this piece of property at a place called Dove Hill. And today I want to talk to you about the day that Dove Hill died. Well, we worked on it for 3 years. We raised money. We focused everything we had on getting up, and the price kept going up. But then the miracles would happen, and then the price would go up, and then another miracle would happen. So we stayed in it, and we felt this was the right direction for us until the day that the price went so high, and then the bank that had been our partner for years and years said, we're going to write this loan, but you have to have another $1.1 million in cash before we'll fund this loan. Now, we were 6 weeks away from building this building. We worked hard. If you know anything about construction, all the permits and all of the city process, we fought through this whole thing for a long, long time. And when that day happened, I can tell you, how many have ever had a moment where you just feel like you got a gut punch? Just, you got some news that was just, and this feeling hit me, and I said, I don't think it's supposed to be this hard. I don't think this is going to work. And time was running out and money was running out. And we had to abandon this thing that we had designed, which was super hard. And when that happened, I was so depressed. I didn't eat for a week, not because I don't love to eat. As you can see, I do. But I just felt like everything we had worked on for 3 years was just going down the drain, and it was embarrassing, and it was humiliating, and it was disappointing, and it was frustrating, and I was really, really low, that gut punch feeling. But the moment came where we pivoted, and we said, okay, well, we can't just pity ourselves. We're out of time. We got to find someplace. We started to look around, and after a few short weeks, and then within months, we were able to secure this opportunity, this building that you're in right now, which, by the way, is twice the square footage as we were planning to build. Isn't that a pretty building? Isn't that nice? It looks nice to you. It's like a nightmare to me. But we found this building, which is twice as big for half the price as this one, right? I'm just telling you this story, not because I want to talk to you about buildings. I want to talk to you about that gut punch feeling that you get when you don't have a plan, or the plan that you thought was going to happen, or what you were expecting to happen doesn't happen, and suddenly it just gets very real. And then when God reveals another plan, when he reveals a way out, Hosea 2:15, you've heard me talk about this, the New Living Translation, God said, I will transform the valley of trouble, and we were in trouble. I will transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. And this started to come together. And do you know what happened to my mood when this started to happen? It was like, this isn't going to happen. Now this could happen. And that feeling of hope was back. So I had hope in a plan that didn't work. I lost hope. I refocused. I kept my hope on God, but I needed a place for us to have church too. So when this started to come together, then hope started rising in my life. And I'm telling you this story because I know every one of you have a Dove Hill somewhere in your story. Something that didn't work and where you lost hope. Maybe you lost hope, maybe you lost faith. Maybe for you it was, God, why did you do this to me? Maybe you're a little upset with God because something didn't work. And I want to talk to you about the power of hope to refill you and refocus you on something brand new, because hope is coming to you today. If you're at a place where you've lost hope, God wants to transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope for you. And so I want to talk about the remarkable impact that hope has on our life. There are five things that hope will do for you. Let me give these to you really quick. This is written, half of it's written down for you in your notes, but what is the power of hope? What will hope do for you? Why do we need hope? Hope, number one, will lift us out of emotional despair and fill us with fresh joy. I can tell you that when you get a plan, when you get a hope, when you have a reason suddenly where you didn't before, you're discouraged, and now you've got a reason and it fills you and it lifts you. Then it will heal you. Hope will heal you of the pain and trauma of a divorce, of a bankruptcy, of the loss of a loved one. Hope has healing power to it. Hope has clarifying power. When you have hope, your mind clears up. You go from confusion to what's going on. You don't know where you're at. And when hope comes, boom, you've got a plan. You've got clarity. Third, hope releases new energy. And when you're discouraged, you just are listless. You don't have energy in your life. But when you have hope, suddenly things start moving and you've got the willpower and the want power and you've got the energy to embrace something new. And hope finally will move you. It'll move you into your future. It will release you from being stuck in the past. And the problem that I see in so many people's lives today, stuck in the past. Stuck in that divorce. Stuck in that heartbreak, never going any further. And what God wants to do is give a person hope. to get the energy back, to get the creativity back, to get the forward momentum coming back into your life. Do you need any of these things in your life? I know I do. I need these things in my life. And here's the cool thing. This is why I'm telling you this. The cool thing is the resurrection of Jesus Christ brings us hope. Now, how is that? How does the fact that Jesus was dead and that he rose again, how does that bring us hope in our lives? The answer is found in the verse we looked at last Sunday. By the way, last Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, was a record breaker in our church. I want to thank the Lord for that. We'd never had such a large one, over 1,850 people that were gathered on three campuses, nine services, and the best part, I saved the best part for the last, that we know of, over 30 decisions for Jesus Christ. That's worth doing right there. And I want to say thank you to the volunteers and the musicians and the staff members and everybody on Team Gateway that made that happen, because that was very special. We looked at this verse, 1 Peter 1:21, where he says, through Christ you've come to trust in God. Through Christ you've come to trust in God. And you've placed your faith and what? Hope in God. You got hope because he raised Christ from the dead. In other words, you're not pitiful. You're not lost. You're not hopeless, and you're not guilty. All of that doesn't apply to you because one central fact, Jesus did rise from the dead. And that means we can trust him. That means he can make promises to us about eternal life, and we can believe that because he overcame death. So that means heaven is a possibility. That means what he said in the Bible is believable. That the promises he's made to us for our children and our marriage and our future and our sins and our eternal life, those promises are believable because they were validated by his resurrection. Like Paul said, if he didn't rise from the dead, it's all off. What are we doing here? But if we can actually believe that he rose from the dead, we have a reason to hope. We've got a future. We've got something that we can place our confidence in. And the resurrection of Jesus gives us that hope. Now, I was talking about that gut punch. So let's go back. Let's rewind 2,000 years to the gut punch that 12 men and about 58 others that were following Jesus at the time when he was crucified, those people that loved him and walked with him and saw him die a violent death on that cross. Talk about a gut punch. They had that moment 1,000 times worse than a dovetail or a... And hope was totally gone for them. Completely gone. Because they had forgotten, really, that Christ had predicted he would rise from the dead. And anyway, when something like that happens, so violent, so bloody, so emotionally painful, so stressful, so shocking, you're not thinking straight. You're in a haze. You're in a confusion. When pain and trauma comes to your life, somebody that you love is suffering right in front of you and then dying. And everything he promised and seemed to say was going to happen suddenly looks like it isn't going to happen. I mean, that's a gut punch. But see, what Peter is saying is, I was there when all that happened. But the reason we have hope is because there was a resurrection. Everything changed. So it was bad for a minute. But then when Jesus rose from the dead, the gut punch got un-gut punched. And suddenly, instead of depression and fear and agony and stress, now the experience was, wow, we have our future back. And things are looking better than ever because Jesus Christ has risen. That sense of hope is what is so important to you. That sense that you have a future, that sense that everything is going to work according to God's plan, that sense that you're going to be all right, that God is holding your life together, that even in the hard times when you don't have an explanation, you don't understand what happened, you're not sure why all that time was wasted, all that pain came, you're not sure the why of the experience, yet the hope is there. And that's what becomes so important for each and every one of us. And we come to trust in God and have faith in God and have hope in God because Jesus Christ arose. I want you to open up your heart and allow fresh hope to enter in. Now, let's talk for a few minutes about what's in your book, which is reasons why we can believe that Christ rose from the dead, all right? You can believe that Jesus rose from the dead as follows: the next three reasons this week and three more reasons next Sunday. Don't miss next Sunday's message, especially if you've ever had loss in your life. You're going to be blessed next Sunday. But in chapter one of the book and in your life groups this week, here's what the conversation goes like. Reason number one that we can believe that Jesus rose from the dead is because Jesus is unlike anyone who has ever lived. I love that song we were singing a few minutes ago, "There's Nobody Like You, Lord." There's no name, that name of Jesus, that beautiful, unique name of Jesus, there's nobody like him. And he's a different kind of a person if you study his life. And when he says he will rise and he says he did rise, you have to believe him. John 8 says, there's a quote from John 8 where Jesus says, "Who among you can prove me guilty of any sin? I'm telling you the truth. If I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me?" In other words, Jesus is saying, examine my character. Am I a liar? And if I'm not lying, then why are you struggling to believe me? Jesus was somebody like you've never, ever met. If you study the lives of religious leaders down through history, you'll find quite a cast of characters, many of them admirable people. We could talk about the great religions of the world. We could talk about the prophets and the authors and spiritual leaders down through history. But there's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. And many of those leaders that led religions and philosophies down through the ages, if you really dig into the personal details of their life, you find out some of them were quite perverse. Some of them seemed to be mentally ill. Some of them weren't consistent with even what they were teaching. They were exposed in many ways to be frauds. And so there's great disappointment related to their character. But nothing like that can be said of Jesus Christ. No one has ever found anything that Jesus could be accused of. No one has ever said, "Yeah, but we know something about Jesus that you don't know." Well, they try to make up these crazy movies and that he was married and that he had sex with people and all these filthy concepts. They can't understand a person who was pure. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody has any evidence or any proof that he did wrong. And Jesus, even by people who don't follow him, is widely regarded and has been for thousands of years, has been widely regarded as someone who is amazing in his character. He preached on love and he preached on truth, and so he's highly esteemed. So the first reason that I believe we can begin to say, you know, the resurrection could be credible, the promises of God could be credible, it's because there's nobody like Jesus. He's believable. The second reason I think is important is concerning miracles. How many love miracles? Well, the miracles of Jesus were never invalidated. So this is an important point because we read throughout the Gospels and other secular sources, actually historical sources, citing his miracles about how he fed the multitudes and turned water into wine and raised the dead and healed the sick, etc. John said he's done so many things that the world can contain the book if it was all written down. The wonderful works of Jesus. So, miracles, right? But never once, not even by an enemy, not even by those who were jealous and hated him, never was there one person who was able to say, "You know what? You faked that. You didn't really raise that person from the dead. That guy that got miraculously set free from demons, that didn't really happen." No one was able to advance that. No one in history was able to say that, and there's a reason. Because in those days, even though Christ had enemies that would have loved to prove that he was faking it, right? That he wasn't real, that he didn't have power. Even though those enemies existed, there were too many people who had seen the miracles. See, in that day, you could sit down with the guy who drank the water that was made from wine. You could talk to the 100 or so people that were at that wedding, right? So it'd be hard to say that didn't really happen. And you could talk to the relatives of Lazarus and the people who lived in Bethany when he raised him from the dead. That was a story for a long, long time. So nobody would be able to say, well, I don't think he actually... No, dude, I was there. I saw the whole thing. So the testimonies of the miracles of Jesus stayed in the air and no one was able to disprove them. You can undermine a lie so easily, but you can't undermine the truth. The reason that we believe the resurrection is credible is not just that Jesus was a different kind of a person, but that, secondly, that no one was able to disprove what he did. The testimony holds, and the lives that he's changed continue to go on. There's been nobody like Jesus. The miracles were seen. They were written down. The eyewitnesses talked about those miracles, and that story has held all this time, the test of time. Here's the third reason why I believe that we can trust the resurrection, and that is because that Christ's identity is no mystery. Who Jesus was attested to. It was confirmed. The Bible says in the Gospels that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River and a voice came down from heaven, and it was the voice of the Father, and the Father was authenticating the identity of Jesus Christ. Okay, we're talking about Jesus. Who is he? Can he be trusted? Did he really rise from the dead? When you have a voice coming down from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, the one in whom I am very pleased." When you have that kind of testimony, the testimony of God himself saying, "This is my son, believe him," then you have three very special reasons to believe that Jesus was the kind of a person that should be trusted and should be believed. You see, when someone's identity needs to be confirmed, who they are, what their character is like, you can do a background check on them. Have you ever had a background check? People that will call your neighbors and call your relatives and ask for your information. There's a background check that is done. And when that background check checks out, then it's believed that you are who you say you are. Well, the background check is being done on Jesus Christ for the last 2,000 years. And nobody's uncovered any dirt. And furthermore, the voice of the Father in heaven was saying, "This is my son, believe him. Listen to him. I'm delighted in him. He is who he says he is." So God himself made sure that we would know that Jesus was his son. See, and this happened again and again and again. The identity of Jesus was confirmed not just by the Father, but as you get into your book this week, you're going to find out that there were hundreds of Old Testament prophecies, predictions of who Jesus would be and what he would do, where he would be born, things that you could never make up. These predictions of the Old Testament were advanced before Jesus was born, and Jesus' story perfectly fulfills hundreds of Old Testament prophecies. You go through the evidence, you go through the believability factor of Jesus and did he rise from the dead. As you get into that, it's going to blow your mind how much evidence there is for having confidence in Jesus Christ. Now, the reason that I'm saying all of this today, you say, "Well, Pastor, you're talking to the wrong crowd. We know, we believe in Jesus." But see, here's the you've got to have some solid reasons in your life. Because the moment is coming where you might get a gut punch. Something might happen to you that shakes you and causes you to say, "Well, is this real? Like, do I know God? Is this in the hard time, in the gut punch moment, when the story doesn't go the way you thought it was going to go, or it doesn't look like God is going to keep the promise that he made?" In that moment, you've got to have an anchor in your life. Otherwise, you'll lose hope. The truth is, if you drill down into the resurrection, you find out this thing, it's not just, "I go to church." It's not just, "Well, I know he's real because of how I feel." When they sing that song and the music starts to play and I feel something, so I know he's real. That's true. But sometimes you need just a little bit more than that. You need to come down to some reasons that you can anchor to say, you know what? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if he rose from the dead, and I believe that he did, then maybe his plan for my life is real. Maybe what's written down in that Bible is actually the truth. So I don't have to waste my time with other philosophies rooted in imperfect leaders. I can trust that I have the truth. You start building hope and building credibility and building reasons. And when you get reasons, the hope starts to rise. How many understand what I'm saying? So that's the heart of this whole first week. That hope is ours if we believe. And not believe in a fairy tale. But we deeply trust and truly believe the things that are credible about the resurrection, the promises of the Bible. And that repositions us to have a foundation and an anchor. And you're going to dig deeper into this. And if you've been encouraged by this message, wait till you read through chapter one of your book. Enjoy that this week. You're going to be excited as you go and you talk to your life group and your friends and neighbors about this book. You're going to start getting a conversation going in your life that's going to bring strength and it's going to bring hope to you. We'll cover even more reasons next Sunday morning as we go deeper into this study. I want you to stay with me through all these 6 weeks. Let's do this together. Come with me. Come with me for the next 6 weeks. And let's discover reasons for hope. Jesus was a uniquely and universally respected person. His life and his character cannot be questioned. His enemies and detractors could not defeat him. His miracles were well known and undeniable. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and the case for the resurrection is believable. And if that is true, the pity is gone. The sin is gone, the uselessness is gone, and we have hope in our lives. Can I have a hallelujah? Hallelujah. So the worship team is coming, and we're just going to take a few minutes to pray for hope. We're going to pray for God's hope and his grace and his confidence to fill our lives, and I want you just to bow your heads right now, just right where you are. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for how you're moving in our lives, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for your ability to buoy us up in those moments when it feels like we've lost hope. I'm praying today, Jesus, for people in this room and those that are watching me online that have just had a gut punch. Something about their marriage, something about their health, something about their career. Or maybe we've had the gut punch of really realizing how imperfect we are, how flawed we are, how fallible we are. We've sinned. We've let ourselves down. We're broken people, Lord. We need your healing. We need your hope. And I pray for the hope that Peter spoke of. We can place our confidence and our faith in God because of the resurrection. And I pray that tons of hope, Lord, would come back into our lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, for those that have lost their North Star, they've lost their bearing, the plan didn't work. I pray that you'll begin to guide them to your perfect will. And I pray for those that are listening to my voice that are just wrestling even with their faith. Is this really real? And I pray, Lord, they'll lean into the resurrection. Lean into faith in God. That God, you will heal us, you will deliver us, and set us free. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, really, the truth is that no matter how we feel, there is an anchor. There is a rock that we can stand on. There's solid ground, and that solid ground is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die. The promise to us is that through faith in him, our sins can be forgiven and we can experience eternal life. And I want to pray for anyone in this room that's not on that solid ground. Maybe you used to serve the Lord years ago. At one time you were a follower of Jesus, but you've drifted somehow. Maybe you're here today and you've never given Christ that invitation to come into your life, to wash away your sins, to make you a brand new creation. If that's you, I really want to pray, especially for you, that God will give you hope, forgiveness, and healing today. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask you, if that's you, would you just lift your hand? Say, Pastor David, pray for me. That's me. I need that. I want to, thank you, sir. Just wherever you are, just lift your hand. Say, I want to invite Christ. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Thank you. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's wonderful. Thank you, dear. I see you to my left. Just put your hand up and say, yes, I see you. I really want to be sure that my sins are forgiven. It's five people lifting their hands. And is there a sixth? Just say, Pastor, pray for me. Yes, sir. Thank you. Seven. How wonderful. So, Lord, you see these hands, and I'm asking you to do a miracle in their lives, Lord. Touch them. Wash away their sins, Lord. And give all of us reasons to hope again, Lord. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit entering their lives, Lord. I pray that from this day forward, there'll be brand new creations. The old has passed away, and all things become new. That we have the promise of eternal life as we receive you, Jesus. Now, you that lifted your hands, just simply say in your heart, in your spirit, Jesus, I invite you into my life. Let's all say that. Jesus, I invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you, Lord. We receive you, Lord. Amen. Wow. It's wonderful the way people are coming to the Lord. Because when you present the gospel, it's believable. It's something that is good news, and everybody needs that hope. There's a prayer that we're going to put up on the screen. I'm going to invite all of us online and here in the auditorium and in the cafe just to take a look at this prayer. Especially if you raised your hands a minute ago, this prayer is a prayer that you should certainly, certainly pray. Let's all pray this prayer out loud together. Here we go. Dear God, I praise you for giving me so many reasons to hope. I can't live without your love and power. Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. Thank you for dying for my sins and rising from the dead to prove who you really are. I choose to trust in you and follow you because I believe in Christ's name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to serve you in just a moment. The offering is going to be received. Thank you for giving and standing with us in the mission of reaching people and building strong churches that raise up great disciples to follow Jesus and make him famous. That's our call, inspiring, transformed lives. And every time you give, you're helping us to fulfill that mission. So I really appreciate that. Before the ushers come, I'd like to say to those of you that raised your hand, you heard about a card earlier in the service. It said, I'm new here. And the other side says, I've decided. So I encourage you, if you're new in the church or if you've made a decision for the Lord, would you grab the pen and the card in front of you, fill that out, and when the offering container comes by, let that be what you put in today. We appreciate that very much. Let's worship the Lord together, and then I'm going to come back and speak a blessing.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for this word today. It's so needed. We know that everywhere there's fear, everywhere there's gloom, everywhere in the world, things are broken. There's hatred, there's anger, there's murder, there's immorality. The culture's rotten. But we are in your kingdom.
Yes, thank you.
We are in the body of Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
We are people of light and people of salt. We don't boast to look down upon all people, but we boast that the Lord has rescued us. He saved us. He changed us. We are on the road of the path.
Thank you, Lord.
To righteousness. And Father, we need to be reminded over and over and over again of who God is and who we are and where He's taking us.
Yeah.
And we are not going to be shaken.
Yes,
we are not going to be defeated. You cause us to triumph in the midst of all of these negatives.
Yes.
There is hope.
Yeah.
There will be a new day. There will be a new beginning. There will be a revival of miracles.
Yes.
There will
yes.
be a great outpouring of your Spirit. And we will see that every word that you've spoken will be honored and will come to pass. And so we lift up our voices in praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless the
yes,
people.
God. Bless your people.
Bless the people. Everybody
bless
stand
people.
On your feet
yes.
and give the Lord a
yes.
shout.
Hallelujah.
Give the Lord
Hallelujah.
A shout of hope.
Hallelujah.
A shout of hope.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Apostle C. Guys, it's been great to be together. Now, you can connect with someone here if you need prayer, if you need healing prayer, or just want somebody to talk to and connect with, you can do that. In the foyer area, you can connect with small groups and all the materials, everything you heard about, the events you heard about in the sanctuary today in our announcements. Thank you for being here. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. God bless you. Enjoy your week. God bless you.